Oh, hey, you bitches. It's Chris. It's another Brightside podcast. And today I've got a special friend, my friend Julian, who's just a fucking Brazilian jiu-jitsu fucking nerd. And all he wants to do is talk about Brazilian jiu-jitsu and bullshit and all that. Not. I don't know anything about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I only took a few classes for like 3 months. Got my ass handed to me and got too expensive and I couldn't do it. But I had so much fun doing it. And if I could afford it, I'd definitely go back and do it again. But I brought in Tony and Julian. We just started talking about jiu-jitsu, its history, what Julian's been up to, his recent injury, and just catching up. So I hope you guys like it. It's crappy audio because we were limited on mics, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, that's as good as it's going to get. I'm sorry I couldn't fix it, all right? Jeez. Anyway, I'm Chris, and this is another Brightside Podcast.
What's cracking?
Oh man, nothing, man. I'm just fucking getting over here, just smoking some weed, just chilling, man.
That's not very typical of you, though.
Something new. No, it's very abnormal.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I deserve this. Oh wait, Julian, tell us a bit about yourself.
All right. I'm old.
Like how old?
I'm about to be 27 years old. I'm Hispanic. I got long hair. Not that long. Kind of like the comb over kind of thing. I'm chubby, but I'm cute. Get at me.
Do you like long walks?
I love long walks on the beach, and I love jiu-jitsu.
Last time I saw you, you were doing a lot of jiu-jitsu, but I mean, what have you been up to?
I'm hurt, man. That's what I've been up to.
What happened?
I was in New York for a week, and I was out there training. I was out there training with some top-level motherfuckers. Henzo Gracie Academy, and I forgot the other one, but literally the guy I went up against up there, he was like the best guy I've ever been up against.
Was this a tournament?
No, it was just me rolling out. I literally rolled up to this academy in New York.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what's up?
That's like the official Henzo Gracie Academy, right?
I went to the official one over there in New York, yeah. Those motherfuckers were all
right. That's where Marcelo goes. He trains sometimes, right?
I tried going to Marcelo's. I tried going over to Marcelo's, but the shit was closed. It was like the day before Martin Luther King Day or something. So, like, his fucking shit was
fucking
closed.
Fucking Martin Luther King. ruining it for the jiu-jitsu guys.
Yeah, I was upset. It was just closed, and so I walked over to him because Henzo's and Marcelo's are like literally like 5 minutes from each other, and so yeah, I was training with them, and I got hurt out there. It was fucking cold as fuck, man. It was like right before the blizzard hit. It like covered everything on the East Coast.
What was it, Sandy?
No. It was before. It was like some big snowstorm that hit the East Coast like in January.
Oh yeah,
and so.
Jonas, I think?
I fucking don't know.
I don't know, man.
But I was able to board my plane because they just closed the New Jersey airport, and I was in New York, so I was like, I got out of JFK the last flight, so I got lucky. But yeah, man, I got hurt out there. It's called a sartorius muscle that runs like the inner side of the inner thigh muscle. I fucked it up, and so I've been dealing with it ever since. But yeah, it's kind of what it is.
So that happened this January?
Yeah, in January. So I've been like limping around. So I can train for like a good 30 minutes, right? I'll train. Uh-huh. And then out of nowhere, my muscle will just start to have a mind of its own. And I'll lose dexterity of it. So meaning like I won't be able to like move it back and forth. I would have to like keep it tight to me so I can survive. And so like I've been developing my jiu-jitsu in a different way now. So it's kind of crazy.
So like if just for an example, if it was like if you had the similar thing on your arm, I guess you would just like hold it like this.
Yeah,
like,
hold it tight to your body. Keep it close to you.
Holy shit.
So like I'll just keep it like that. I'll keep it like, I forgot what this is called, but this kind of this angle right here, but I'll just keep it bent and close and tight.
The side of the knee?
Yeah. Just making sure it's close to my body. I wouldn't be able to move it back and forth. I lose dexterity in the hip. I just think the muscle right there is aged, and I don't got no health care right
aged?
Now.
Aged?
No, for real. When you're
old, like a some kind of a pull, a tear, or straining of it, because you know, age itself is not going to do that, especially at 27.
No, I agree with you on that point, but it was already like, I think it was just from just training all the time. It was about to give, and. I don't know, man. I don't fucking have no health care.
Like
so
a wear and tear.
Yeah, it's
injury?
Super all fucked right. up. And I just kind of, I started doing yoga. I started doing just to kind of like.
You've been doing yoga?
Yeah.
For how long? Since then or
yeah,
for a while?
Since like late February. I've been trying to just be more limber. I gained a bunch of weight, so it probably led to the injury. There's just a lot of factors that could have just, me sitting all day now. I'm
so
in the office.
When did you find out? Shit. How did
like right the Wednesday night of my last week in New York. I just got off the mat with these crazy killer Jeez. Motherfuckers, and it's so cold outside. I started limping, and so I had to limp all the way from like Manhattan all the way to Queens, New York. It sucked, but it was cool.
Fuck, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, it was all right, man. It's just what it is, you know? You got to deal with injury, and I started doing yoga, and I discovered a new, found respect for it, because I fucking hate yoga. Yoga sucks.
Why?
I mean, I'll tell you why. Because yoga is like, it's like giving yourself a massage, all right? And that's pretty difficult when you don't have a masseuse to do that for you.
Isn't that more,
This is what the thing with yoga is. I hate going to yoga, but after yoga's done, I feel like a brand new man. I feel like I can conquer the world. And plus, the place I go to, Yoga on 3rd in downtown Long Beach, she's just an amazing ass fucking yogi teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's dope.
All right.
How long are these yoga sessions?
It's about an hour.
All right.
Have you ever done Brickham yoga?
No, I just do that regular basic level shit, man.
Has that improved your flexibility, though?
Yeah. My flexibility, my dexterity of my, just overall my body. I didn't realize certain things and that, like push and pull, like stretching and, like, I thought yoga was a soft, gentle experience.
Oh, no.
No, it's not. It's very taxing on the body.
Yeah.
It's very.
And probably mind, too, because it requires discipline. You know, just sitting there and doing these stretches. And it's not like. You know, romantic as for guys like lifting weights for 45 minutes stretching.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds kind of lame to most people.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it stretching. It's a legit workout. Drenched by the end of it. The chick I go to, I forget her name, but she like plays hip hop music. And so it's not.
It's
a basic level class, you know, but she definitely she's very interesting and she's fun. She's super funny. And she's fucking hot, and so it just kind of.
I was gonna say, do you have a crush on this chick?
Yeah.
It seems like yeah.
I do. I do. I wish I had her Instagram right now. I'll show you.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, I guess when you're attracted to somebody, it helps going there regularly. Do you go there like a few times a week?
Nah, bro.
You're right. I mean, that's how I passed algebra.
There you go.
Really?
My teacher was hot. Yeah.
Nah, man. Honestly, I kind of started picking up jiu-jitsu again, so I kind of like I don't really go as much. I was trying to go on Thursday, but yeah, man. I don't know. I'd rather do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, yoga and jiu-jitsu seem like two disciplines that really complement each other. Anyways, so,
1000%.
You know, it's not like it's like going to completely cancel each other out.
It's actually the closest thing I've experienced closest to jiu-jitsu. Because of all the movement, I would imagine that someone that has done breakdancing before would say the same thing about breakdown. Just the movement and being heavy and knowing pressure and breathing. And it's,
you know what's interesting is that, you know, I was listening to something with Eddie Bravo, and he was mentioning that breakdancers are the next, like, new people in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That they're naturally flexible and able to handle those positions.
Yeah, I guess they know the dynamics of, you know, balancing the weight on the ground and you know,
being upside down.
Being upside down, yeah.
Weight distribution.
Using your legs a lot. You know.
Everything. Just full dexterity. I think the more dexterity you have over your body, the better, like, Yeah, I'm pretty sure like a yogi can go into jiu-jitsu and do well, like just picking up the movements and stuff.
Yeah, I even remember Eddie Bravo mentioning that he doesn't give any black belt to anybody who can't do the lotus position without using their hands, just straight up getting into the lotus position, and even doing it upside down. He can do it upside down without using his hands.
Yeah, the thing about like yoga, I don't necessarily think it makes you more flexible. It can, but I think with the kind of yoga I'm doing, I'm not too sure the name of it. It's basic level shit. Uh-huh. And I just feel more limber, and like my center, like my back feels better, and things of that nature. I don't necessarily feel more flexible. I just feel like like when you lift weights, the muscle tightens, but when you do yoga, the muscle loosens. So it stretches itself out. So, and Eddie Bravo's like style, I think, is predicated off of a lot of some of the moves from the guard, obviously predicated from rubber guard. Like, so the flexibility is required. But there's like 1,000 versions of jiu-jitsu. Like my jiu-jitsu is like more like I would say Higi Machado. Higi Machado emphasized pressure and being heavy and securing position and then making the guy give up first, rather than putting them in bad positions where they, you can, like Eddie Bravo's, I think, would say, put yourself in a bad, he'll force you into a bad position.
Yeah, like he has a lot of the positions that immobilize.
Yes.
They immobilize the opponent. Like, he has all these names for them. He showed us one day this technique where I think he calls it New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where basically he's in the guard. He's like guard based, obviously, you know. And he works off those immobilizing positions to his opponent to work a triangle,
to find the submission.
Arm bar. Yeah, a submission. So he definitely tries to wear you out. Especially he loves the rubber guard, which is like a... It's like
a lot of people are like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
A lot of leg flips.
You gotta explain this.
Being on your back, using how can you describe a rubber guard? It's like it's just almost like ready to do a triangle.
Because for those that don't know, jiu-jitsu is basically
I got the perfect definition for you.
All right, go ahead.
And you're gonna trip out. Everyone's gonna trip out. It's like economy of movement.
Exactly. That is a great way to.
That's
to
one put component that. Of it. Though.
Using, just assume you have energy in units and strength in units. You want to use the most amount of those units efficiently as possible. You know, without spending yourself out doing nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that didn't help too much, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I would. There's just nowadays like jiu-jitsu is becoming an industry, and so. And especially like there's an influx of Brazilians come over to the West Coast and or just to America in general to just capitalize on this newfound industry. So there's a lot of and then Eddie Bravo kind of created his own style. This Mexican kid from like Santa Ana.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's I think he's based out of downtown LA's HQ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there before, and it's just a style of jiu-jitsu that is pretty big in LA.
Yeah, he used to have the there's a gym called HQ. He used to be a coach in that one at nights. But now he has his own gym across the street. It's a 10th Planet gym, right across the street. I guess whatever reason they just put up. But yeah, he's right across the street. He's every night. And yeah, he grew up in Santa Ana. He has an interesting story about how he got into jiu-jitsu.
I wonder if people were thinking, like, who the fuck is Eddie Bravo?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
Let me tell you this. This fool was, like, in the death metal. He's a stoner. Like, fucking... No. Just everybody Google Eddie Bravo. He's a fucking... He's a conspiracy theorist, stoner, and he trains MMA fighters. So he's, like, essentially, I would want to be him when I grew up, you know?
Pretty much. Yeah. He actually started, like you said, he's into death metal.
He has his own band.
Yeah, he moved from Santa Ana to Hollywood in his early 20s to make it into the music industry. He had no athletic ability, no athletic...
He was overweight.
He just wanted to... I guess, yeah. And he just wanted to lose weight, so he got into, jiu-jitsu, which he was 24 at the time. Out of shape and 24.
Huh?
You read the Wikipedia before you came over here.
Well, I guess that helps too. I've known about this guy since 2000.
You trained with him?
I trained with him for a few months. Okay. His
Claim to fame? Uh-huh. What was it?
He topped out a Gracie. You know who the Gracies are, right?
Yeah.
So this fool, he went to like the most prestige, like the Olympics of jiu-jitsu as a brown belt. So he made it to the top. Like,
I think it was even
well, the Gracie, you know, well, for those that don't know,
brown,
the Gracies are essentially one of the most respected families in jiu-jitsu because they...
Martial arts.
And martial arts, yeah. But, you know, it depends who you talk to in martial arts. But he is... by far one of the greatest jiu-jitsu fighters, and his school has taught some of the greatest fighters that have ever been in MMA or jiu-jitsu.
Joe Rogan is even a black belt under Eddie Bravo.
You know, well, we're not talking about Eddie Bravo. we're talking about Gracie.
Oh, so for clarification, there's like 1,000 Gracies out there now.
Yeah,
there's like 1,000, but there's like, if you have a pick one or two, there at the top would be this guy named Helio, who's like 5'3", and this, let me tell you about this fool is. Back in the day, he would challenge people from like different disciplines and different arts and different sizes and different strength, and he would like fight them, like Kimbo Slice status. And so that was his claim to fame and developing what he called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So
basically it was in Brazil when it was a culture. Well, see, so he had a challenging culture where he challenged the, you know, coach of a different discipline to a, you know, no-holds-barred fight, and whoever wins, it means his style was the better one. Helio Gracie, Helio Gracie and the rest of the Gracies, they did this, you know, in the 40s and probably even earlier. They got this culture from the judo people who came out of the Kodokan in the early 20th century. They proved judo by doing those exact same challenges. And
it's very, like, very classical, like, of warrior type. Samurai. You know, like, very samurai-ish.
Yeah, that's some shit, too. I don't know. I don't know. For me, jiu-jitsu is just a cool thing to do, and it's a nice lifestyle to live, you know? But the way it was evolved, it came from the samurai culture, I think. So it was developed from the samurai culture of like the swinging of the movements of the sword and hip movement, and the Gracie dude developed. It wasn't Helio. There's more to the story that I know.
Yeah.
But he was like the pioneer. Him and his brother, I think, were the pioneers. They were the entrepreneurs of their day, you know, trying to. But that was their, I guess their currency was jiu-jitsu, and that's what they. You know, they brought it to the United States.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. Especially once there was a lot more MMA competition and it became more publicized.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely became... It just proved that not all martial arts are the same.
Yeah.
You know? And it literally broke... If you go back and you see, like, the Helio fights, where... I forget the names of them, but they're, like... three times the size of Helio.
Right? I'm not too sure what you're talking about. I'm honestly not too sure what you're talking about. There's a lot of shit that went from Helio all the way to... No, because you're thinking... This is what you're thinking about. You're thinking about Hoist.
Oh, you're right. I'm thinking about Hoist.
Helio also challenged people, you know...
When he's asking about, like, what we watched in the UFC, and he beat bigger people than... You know, like, he's... I think the way he's described... Were you thinking about Hoist?
You're totally right.
So, like, before... Hold on. Check this shit out. So, before there was Hoist, there was his brother, Hickson.
Mm-hmm.
And Hickson was already, like, the super badass of his day. Like, just knocking everybody out and... But he was using jiu-jitsu. He was using jiu-jitsu to, like, overcome his opponent. So, man, there's, like, so much. Like, where do you want to begin? Like, if you had to start fresh from jiu-jitsu.
Just keep going.
You just got into this, right?
Well, I got into it a little bit last year because I trained at HQ, too, for a little bit.
We were at the same gym for, unfortunately, only a few weeks until life got in the way. But,
yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. I got like two jobs.
Two side jobs.
Yeah. Well, but that's anyway. Cool.
So you're like, so you don't have no experience in the gi?
No.
And so I guess for those listening, the gi is like a karate outfit looking thing, but just a lot thicker. And yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. So essentially there's two different types of disciplines of like practicing jiu-jitsu. And the traditional form is definitely using the gi in uniform. And in that way, you have a lot of experience of actual clothing and people who, you know, chances are if you're going to be in a fight, you're going to be in a fight with somebody actually wearing, you know, clothing on or a jacket on, yeah, or something.
I mean, it does help learning a few of those lapel chokes.
Yeah.
You know, learn how to manipulate people's clothing in order to choke them out, even control them. But, yeah, we
and started. And then the second discipline is definitely, of course, more of a competition sports style. And it's no-gi, where typically you wear either shorts or very tighter clothing.
Right.
It's a lot more without any of the...
arm-to-arm,
Yeah, and it's a lot more, some people say it's a lot more difficult because it's more skin to skin. And so you don't have the advantage of having, an article of clothing. There's some debate between the two. One people might find more practical than the other, but it just depends on your preference.
Jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu, man. Yeah. I feel like my personal philosophy on the difference between the gi and the no-gi is there is none. Jiu-jitsu, I love both. I think there's different application. Obviously, there's different applications of both.
Yeah.
But I think they complement one another. You know, they do. There's movements that are more common in no-gi, right? And so when you can apply those to the gi situation when the opportunity presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing goes for the gi. Perfect example is breaking grips, right? So when you break grips in the gi, there's just obvious, there's tension because I'm grabbing an article of clothing and I'm trying to break the grip. So I'm holding him like this, right? I'm holding him like this.
Like by the wrist?
So if I'm holding his gi, right, there's a way to break this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But holding this, it's a lot easier to break this. So me getting used to breaking grips right here, how easy do you think it's going to be over here? It's gonna be easy. Like, if I can break it from the gi easy, develop that strength, your hand strength from the gi, because they're same thing. If I push him down with the no gi, right, he can't go nowhere. Like he's gonna have a harder time, but he can slip out of it using just like moving your wrist back and forth like that. So that's a small example of how the gi can complement the no gi. Because if I can break grips in the gi, I can break grips in the no gi.
I mean, I've also heard the argument that starting out in no-gi, I mean, I'm sorry, in gi, will help you become more technical. You know, yeah. You use more technique to win instead of, like, aggression or anything like that over no-gi, where you might even be slippery and you're relying on people's sweat to, get out of grips and such. But what do you feel about that? Do you agree with that? Does starting with gi actually make you more technical? And also, do any MMA fighters train with gi anymore?
Probably. I know BJ Penn does. He's like super.
That's right.
Yeah, BJ Penn still fights with the gi on. For me, I started with the gi, so I'm super biased. And that was my base. However, I know guys like my boy Cameron, the Vanilla Gorilla, shout out. He had a wrestling background coming into, and he put the gi on, and he had no fucking clue what the fuck he was doing. So, if you ask me which one was better for competition, I say it doesn't matter. But if you tell me which one's better for self defense, I'll tell you the gi.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. In a lot of heavier jackets, you can actually do those same gi chokes.
Think about it on the East Coast, right?
Everybody has a jacket.
Yeah, everybody has a jacket on. And if you take it a step further, you're not really trying to go to the ground, right? Jiu-jitsu is ground technique in fucking Japanese, right? And that's neiwaza, right? And so you go, if you stand up, what do you got? You got judo. And so I think judo is probably the most practical art for defense, self-defense, because you'll imagine throwing someone on his fucking head.
Yeah.
That would be so dope. That's the next thing.
Right? No.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's also what I heard, the same principle. It's like learning wrestling, traditional wrestling, is good because, you learn how to use your own body and someone else's own body without using any clothing to throw them and control them. That's fine.
Check this shit out, though. If you try to imagine... So hold on. There's a fucking quote in wrestling.
Okay.
Once you've wrestled everything else in life is easy. And I fucking believe it 1,000,000,000%. Because imagine being on the street and trying to mug a wrestler.
That's true. I mean, wrestling is super tough. It's hard to take a break in wrestling. You know, even in boxing, it's like, it's a very challenging sport. But I can admit that in boxing, if you get tired, you know, you want to recover some wind, you can jab and move around. In wrestling, it's like constant, you know, like trying to get each other down to the back. So I get that toughness part of it. But
I don't understand why wrestling didn't become like famous.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Like because it looks gay. No, I'm just kidding. But
really?
No, honestly, I don't know.
Because I hope so. I mean, well, but check this out.
Amateur wrestling to a certain audience is amazing. I love amateur collegiate wrestling. And so collegiate wrestling is dope. I'm not too sure why there's not like a professional league. I heard this on Joe Rogan the other day, how they were like, why do these guys put so much? And it's essentially the Olympics. The Olympic wrestling is like the professional league. But
there are other sports that have like boxing has a Olympic league, and so does so do other sports, and they have like their own league. Like it doesn't basketball have a spot?
Yeah, in the Olympics?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And so, I mean, so that's why I'm like, that's soccer, not a reason.
Yeah.
Well, but like cricket's in the Olympics too. And I don't, who watches cricket?
Yeah, but I mean.
I'm not too sure, man. I'm not too sure why wrestling isn't has a bigger spotlight, but in collegiate style.
I mean, I have my own theory. I think it's because it's possible that pro wrestling, you know, the choreographed wrestling, just took over and people heard pro wrestling and they always expected his theatrics to be involved, and when they saw just two guys athletically trying to compete with each other, it didn't match their expectations. So it's possible, I mean, just as a personal, you know, theory or whatever, that pro wrestling could have killed legitimate professional wrestling.
That's interesting, and that people find the fake wrestling more entertaining than the real.
Yeah,
for some people.
Well, for some people, yeah, but obviously I mean, more people.
Yeah.
They don't see it as that. Yeah, I mean, it's a different crowd, too.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily cross over. Pro wrestling, they don't mind that it's fake. You know, they watch it to watch a choreographed.
But there's some real wrestlers that are like, no, there's real, like Kurt Angle. He was like, that's what his thing was. And then he went into pro wrestling because that's where the money was at. I think there's more, like you said, I kind of, like, now that I'm thinking about it, there's more theatrics to it. And so it's more appealing to the mass audience. But I think wrestling is for smarter people than the mass audience because obviously, you know what Plato says that the mass audience is fucking stupid. They don't know shit, right? So the mass audience, I think majority of them are unaware of... It's like imagining... Did you watch New Star Wars?
Yeah.
All right. So the New Star Wars, they actually show you inside one of the little floating spaceships and like him trying to... understand it's like a helicopter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so making a movie like that and showing how complicated it is to fucking fly a spaceship in the movie Star Wars is very technical, you know? And wrestling is very technical. Like, there's so much going on that you cannot see. There's so much. But in wrestling, right, it's a different style. It's a different, like, there's an art to it, you know? But I think it's more appealing to the mass audience. In my estimation.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
It's I don't know. Technical. Like, yeah. Because you can say that about a lot of things. Because even boxing is really technical.
Oh, that's a good point.
But boxing has this huge, huge league. Yeah, it's not.
Okay, look. In wrestling, there's no knockouts. That's one thing.
In wrestling?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that could be it.
I mean, in amateur wrestling, there's no knockout. So it has less. You can say... intrinsic entertainment than wrestling, which is less dramatic. There's no knockouts. At best, you're going to pin somebody, you know, right off
the get go.
So, it's less, there's less drama in amateur wrestling than in combat sports because you get to see a knockout anytime. And even judo, it's like a knockout is basically a perfect throw, you know, nippon.
Yeah, but I'd like to see somebody get knocked out.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot funner to see somebody knocked out. For I think striking sports or any sports that involve striking that you can do a knockout are always going to have an edge over any pure grappling sports for that reason. It's just more intrinsically entertaining than
than a more technical way to win, like wrestling. And that has to do with it also, but also, my opinion, I think maybe even pro wrestling diminished the entertainment value of pure wrestling. People saw it more as a, you know, more of a chess match than an actual sport that's entertaining to watch in a bar. But other than that, I don't know, because to me, Jesus, it would have been interesting.
Goes back to that math audience, man. It's more appealing. That's what it is, I think.
Damn, dude. We lost it. Pro wrestling.
Nah, dude. Pro wrestling's cool, though. I mean, like the theatrical, whatever it's called. I know you're into that shit, right?
What?
That. No, Ruben is.
Ruben's into that shit.
Yeah. You made a podcast, right, about this subject now.
Yeah, we did. I had somebody on, and this is all we talked about.
Yeah, I was, you know, I still haven't listened to it, but I really wanted to listen to it because I'm sorry. Where's your
shit at? Like, I haven't. Do you post that shit on Facebook or?
I posted it on Facebook, but I also posted it on Twitter and like Instagram. And
I gotta hear some of your shit. I want to hear Nick's for sure. Which one is that? Hey, Nick, I miss you, dog. I hope you're listening to this. Okay, asshole. I text you twice. You want to text me back?
Yeah. Hey, have you been Nick? Yeah, I've met Nick a few times.
Isn't he an amazing motherfucker?
Oh my god.
No, I can argue with that.
He's the reason I went to Cal State Long Beach.
He's the reason?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's deep, right? This is going like deep.
That's serious. You chose your whole college career based on this guy.
Essentially, but think about it. If I never would have worked at Starbucks, uh-huh. I never would have met Nick. I would have never, you know, it's strange to think of it that way. It's like how I can't, how did I find jiu-jitsu? It was because I met someone at El Camino, right? And then, like, I knew Nick, and Nick kind of, he told me to fucking apply one time, right?
Apply where?
Because he was applying, the same year he applied to Cal State Long Beach is the same year I applied, and like, we both got in. And I had a good GPA, but it wasn't, it was like in the threes, so I wasn't like, oh, I wasn't going to get in. Like, I had like a 3.1 or some shit, like, you know? And I got into Cal State Long Beach, and he's the reason why. So, hey, Nick, I miss you, dog. Hope you know.
So, but you know,
like I trip out on how your little crew, right? You, Julian, uh-huh. Fucking Jessica. Who else are the founders?
Grace the Cat.
Grace. Oh, dude, one time I went to a job interview in fucking Venice, right? Did she tell you?
No. What is it?
I swear, one time I thought I was gonna kiss her.
Oh my god! No way.
We were like really close to each other, sitting down on the couch. I'm not even sure she remembers this, uh-huh. but and we were fucked up, right?
Okay.
But like we were sitting on the couch, and I was like, "Man, I want to kiss you." But yeah, but she's cool. She's cool people. But yeah, so those little your crew, and then how you guys all went to Catholic school together. And
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird, but I think someone should write a fucking book about it.
Are you serious?
I think someone should write a book about it. Because of how everyone, first of all, I would like to just, I'm not trying to gloat, make you, whatever. I'm not trying to make you feel better about yourself, but I think all of you guys are all talented individuals navigating this world the same way I am. So, like, but your crew specifically, does that make sense? Like your group, you got a pretty talented crew. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, I think they're people that I just find to be real, and they inspire me. And like we just feed friends. Off of that. Yeah, and it's weird too because we hardly see each other now. You know,
no one told us that. Oh, college, and then you don't get to see your friends no more after college.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like you're under pressure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're under pressure to just live this life or however you want to live your life. And under that pressure, you find a spark somehow. I hope people find this spark because it makes you focused. Like, it makes you like, all right, I need to do this because nobody else is going to tell me to do this. I need to plan out my year, my month, yeah. my week, like my day. And like, you need to think about that on a constant basis because otherwise time, man, like, and it got real for me once I was in college, but time, it does not forgive. Like, it doesn't give a fuck about it. Yeah, you will die, and you better fucking start running, because this is it.
Not for you. Yeah, man, I totally agree with you, and I didn't think about it like that, but, you know, time kind of just starts creeping up on you.
Yeah, and so you want to be on top of it, and it's not that I'm afraid of death. I'm just like, man, I better start living my life now then.
But are we living?
Well, maybe not.
I came up, I know what's going on. Can
what's
I tell you what's going on?
Okay.
With all of us, probably. So
we're on drugs.
No.
God damn it.
No, they're brainwashing us. Let me tell you why.
Into successful people?
No, into a clock part.
A what?
A clock part.
Oh, I see
there. Oh, so I'm a gear.
You're a part in the fucking clock, making
the
clock
system
go round and round and round. And I know this, right? Because I go to work with everyone else in the morning, and I listen to the radio on the way over to work.
You listen to the radio?
I listen to the Woody Show. The Woody Show is dope, bro.
It is. It's funny.
It's fucking dope.
And they're real.
I like the way they talk. So they're very
But they're not informative.
No. That's like some NPR shit.
Yeah.
You listen to both. Right?
I think there's.
You've done that before?
Yes. Oh, I'll get into some crazy shit, man. I listen to Tim Ferriss, all right?
Okay.
I listen to that fool, and I've been listening to this, this conversation with, what's his name? This motivational speaker. Because I feel the same pressure you're feeling. In just a different way. Like, I want to be successful some fucking how, some way. But I don't want to go the way everyone's going. I just want to find my own success somewhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what drove my ass all the way over here, dog. Because I was telling Ruben, I was like, dog, if we don't risk everything, right? If we don't risk anything, we risk everything, right?
What?
That stupid ass quote, you know? It's dumb as fuck, right?
I'm just like wondering, like, why is this that? Like, why is this like that?
Because, like, all right, so this
really isn't.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not saying, like, I don't think you're fucking got a million sponsors. I don't think that at all.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, you have an idea in your head on what you want to do when you grow up,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't have that idea yet. I just know I love jiu-jitsu. And I know I don't like being at work.
No, I don't have any idea what the fuck I wanted to be. And I have no idea what I'm doing now. This is what I mean by being focused is like doing shit that you want to do and being successful at that. You know, like...
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it may not make you money. It may not, like... necessarily be educational per se or whatever. It doesn't have to be, but if it's something that you're working on about yourself, you know, like you know, I hear everybody say like, well, oh, you know, well, what do you want to do when you grow up, or what do you want to be? And it's like, it's really what do you want to tinker about yourself. Like, what do you want to focus about yourself? What is it about yourself?
You guys are on that shit. You guys are. Is your audience familiar with you?
I don't know.
Like, or do you have an audience?
A small one.
Like 20 people?
Probably.
Okay. That's cool. So, I mean, can I talk about anything I want to talk about?
Yeah.
So, like, you've done psychedelics.
Yeah.
So, my first psychedelic experience, guess who it was with?
Who?
With Nick.
Oh, and yeah.
Ruben. I don't know why.
That was your first psychedelic experience?
I took fucking 2 tabs of acid.
Uh-huh.
We were chilling in this weird-ass fucking room in downtown Long Beach. Weird as fuck. It was weird, dog. It's closed now.
Yeah, he told me about it.
Oh, my God. I remember. It was just a crazy experience, right? But like that, going back to the mind part, you know, it's like all about who the fuck are we? Who the fuck do we want to be? Like what? Oh, so if I could be anybody in a movie, I know who I would be, I think. Have you ever thought about that shit?
Okay, like, who would play you or what?
Yeah, who I would be. Can I tell you who I would be?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would be Nas.
That's what?
That's who I'd want to be, dog.
Out of all, everybody.
No, but hold on, let me clarify.
Okay, it's please, Nas, elaborate.
It's Nas in the movie Belly. His name is Sincere, and he plays...
In the movie Belly?
Yeah, it's this crazy-ass movie about all this shit that we're going through.
Uh-huh.
It's like... Imagine if Forrest Gump smoked a lot of weed and grew up in fucking South Central. That would be Valley.
I feel like that's all. Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen
Valley? No, I haven't.
All right, so anyways, there's a character in this movie called Valley. The character, and if I could have anyone, if I wanted to be any character in any movie, it would be that guy, Sincere in Valley.
Okay, but why?
I think because he was just a stand-up dude. He was a stand-up dude who had respect. He didn't have to be loud. He was cool. He had a beautiful woman. He had a family. And he was about his business. And he kind of said, this is what kind of like, he's like, because I believe in God, but I don't, like, I'm not fucking religious. Because you've ever been around Christians or fucking someone that's super, they believe that, like, I don't know. It's weird how it makes them behave, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he's like, and I believe in this shit, but I'm not going to be all about it. I mean, because ultimately...
What does that mean?
It's like, because the most important thing for him was his wife and his child.
Uh-huh.
And why give that energy another place? Because there's only so much energy we have in the day.
Yeah.
You know? And so I want to give that to my woman and my child. And yeah, I believe in God because of just the spiritual side of yourself or whatever the reason is, your thought process. But... yeah, man, that's just kind of like, I would be sincere.
Who would you be? Who would you be?
I don't know, man.
Write this shit down. Hope people think about it. What character, like Joe Rogan, that new On It. It's like, who would be your character in the
Oh
movie?
My God.
Who would you hurt?
I have to turn that off.
It's so fucking
like,
weird.
It's so intense. Like, but why?
He's asking you a fucking question. You should have listened.
Yes, I did. I did that yesterday. Stop.
Hey, you know what? His guest. He had a fucking guest on there the other day. Whitney Cummings. For some reason, I love her. Like, I find her so attractive.
Oh my God.
And a lot of it is her craziness. And I was like, oh, bitch. I've dated some crazy bitches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kendra, dog. They're Kendra.
When you say like crazy, that's like, are you saying they just
say. Okay. Well, first of all, I have, What is it called? Oh, I have.
Well, you have. I mean, you're like. Well, whatever, man. you like it too, though.
Yeah, I do like it, but all my chicks, I think, have...
they're all specially...
No. They're all super dope. Like, every chick I've ever fucked with,
uh-huh.
They're just dope-ass people. And so, like, I would...
Well, that's very... That's interesting.
Yeah, but...
Interesting somebody would say that.
Sometimes, like, I think because they're dope doesn't necessarily... excuse them from being crazy, like in a relationship, because you know how crazy you can be in a fucking relationship, right?
Okay.
Well, not like just it's manipulation, but love, and it's all this weird stuff put together, you know, and trying to be healthy and be and grow.
That's not a relationship. That's not a healthy relationship.
No. Okay, hold on. If I tell me a healthy relationship,
manipulation,
not to the most extreme degree, obviously, uh-huh. But there's my dog. I have a new puppy. That thing manipulates me all the time. You know, I'm on its schedule.
What?
Okay, let me take it back. Because of how I'm on this whole brainwashing tip right now. Is because I'm trying to train my dog right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a weird metaphor for life, training a dog. Because...
How so? I've never heard anybody say that.
Well, I'm glad that you got all this on camera right now. Or whatever you're
going. Yeah, I'm going to listen to this later. Yeah.
So, what is this shit called? What are they talking about?
Is that everything you want me to...
We're talking about how training a dog is a metaphor for life.
Oh, okay. So training a dog is like a metaphor for certain aspects in life. It's just the dog, the little puppy who weighs 6 pounds doesn't listen to me, right? How do you get that little thing that doesn't know your language get to listen to you, right?
Yeah.
And so just overcoming that obstacle, it's a totally different specimen for me. It's a Mexican dog born in Compton. That's that kind of dog, okay? That's a gangster dog, right? But doesn't listen
what
to
does
me.
That mean?
Because they're Mexican, because we're Mexicans, and then she, what is it?
What?
And she was born in Compton. So okay. You know she was born from Compton. She got life experience.
Yeah, already tied it up.
tatted up. She got boots on. She got guns.
She's frisky.
She's
very lucrative.
She's lucrative.
What was the one he said the other day? You woke. He said that shit today. He's like, you woke.
Stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. So what about... All right, how is that like a symbolism for life?
Okay. Oh, I'll be told how I'm feeling right now about being brainwashed. It's like essentially I got to... The way I have to impose my dominance on her for her to listen.
Okay.
And then essentially, if she doesn't listen, I call it a correction and I tug on her.
Oh.
In a violent way, but like a little uh-huh. jerk. And that's like...
That's how she knows, right?
That's how she knows. I don't want her to walk on this side. She's on this side and she looks down at the ground. And I'm supposed to be walking up with my chin up, so she knows. So it's this whole dominance, and I feel like that's how we are. I think that's how we are.
Like we communicate in that way. Our body language forces us to kind of give like a superior or class kind of thing.
That and whatever, you know, it's like, what is it? What do they say? Like the taller person in the room just has this more imposing presence.
Unless he's a bitch.
But my brother's taller than me, and he's a skinny ass little dude. But like his presence is more known, even though I feel like I have like this. I'm like a rock, dude. I'm 240 pounds. You know, I'm fat,
uh-huh.
And so like people would notice him before they notice me. But it's more of just the control part. Like I'm teaching her how to behave.
And you're talking about being respected for having like self confidence and you know that you know yourself, but. When you say manipulation, it could be interpreted in many ways. Doing something that you want but that she doesn't want, and you force her to do that. For example, that's what people see as manipulation. Yeah. And
that's more of abuse. What you're doing with a dog.
Mental, like you know.
You know what?
Yeah, that's the way I would normally.
I think people have a negative way of looking at it.
It's like the way you define it. It's like, yeah. I think you really got to be clear on what you mean by that.
I think if you just go to the root of the definition, you can use it at any spectrum of life. And I think that's how, like, for me, jiu-jitsu has, like, kind of informed me on how to... It's like, you ever smoke weed and you just discover some shit?
Yeah.
And so...
That, like, every day.
Okay, well, jiu-jitsu does the same thing for you. I think jiu-jitsu helps develop your character. You learn so much about yourself based off from jiu-jitsu. I can manipulate you in a role, right? How do I do that? I think I'm going to make you go. You think I want to go right, but then I go left and I take your back and I choke you out. So I just use that word for some reason. Negative or positive is kind of like a way of me trying to describe something, but it does sound pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, because especially in a relationship, because it's like, you know how chicks be manipulating guys, man. You know how it is. You know they do that shit.
They're just, man, girls, they had to develop differently, man. Their brains are stronger, you know? Like, I don't think about that shit.
I don't know about that.
I for me personally, like, I work in an office full of women, right?
Uh-huh.
And... Like, I normally don't get pissed off, but today I got pissed off. And so, but it's just this feeling.
Did they all, like, come at their separate times to comfort you?
Nah. No, they're all, I don't know, man. It's a weird little group of chicks like I work with, but it's just, there's little manipulators everywhere, man. Yeah. Like, just little manipulations. There's all, like, imagine, like, the conservative and the more liberal way of looking at it. Like, if you were to, that the manipulation on the line, or you fall.
Yeah, well, yeah. Relationships are just fucking like, they're just so sticky, you know?
Yeah, they are. The relationships are sticky, man, but...
All right, so, I mean, damn. And you said that was the last time you saw me?
Yeah, with Kendra.
Damn.
That's all I can think of.
That's probably a long time ago.
There was probably like a party I went to or something. I stopped going to Nick's parties. Because the last couple of years, because my girlfriend's birthday is around the same time. And I haven't even told her. Like, this is something I did for, like, 6 years in a row. And I just changed it for her, you know? Like, kind of never...
Why? You didn't even tell her.
I know, but, like, man, that's what happened.
You did it for yourself?
No, not at all. I love fucking the crew. Like, you guys are fucking awesome. But I'm talking about, like, I just got consumed with her, you know? And so... That's just what happened. I got consumed with her, and I kind of like, I never really told her, like, yeah, I usually go to this party. And she's like, oh, let's go to Mexico for my birthday, blah, 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 you know? So I was like, fuck. So I was like, damn, like, I kind of just gave it up for her, you know?
She never had an option. I know, man. But that's, what I, that's my point.
I'm
like,
a bitch. I'm a bitch.
You just gave in.
Man, hey, man, when the pussy that good, though. The pussy that good, girl. Oh, Charlie. Man, yeah, she, it just, when it's that magical to you, I guess, like, you know, just everything blurs out, you know? Like, you lose yourself. And, like, it's just a strange thing.
So, right now, I mean, you're doing jiu-jitsu, and what else do you do?
Just work all the time, man. Work. I got two jobs, but one is, like, on Saturday. And then it's just, like, a couple hours, whatever. I just do it to make money. And a little extra spending money, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then I work at this, I guess, this weird fucking, this fire protection agency. And just doing project shit. And so jiu-jitsu, work, family, trying to figure out who I am, become a better me, get stronger, get better, get faster, even though I got a broke leg. And yeah, just trying to woke up.
Yeah, so, all right, so now that you're, so now that, I mean, how much training can you really do?
The last 2 weeks I've gone about like maybe 4 hours in. And so this week I got in about 4 hours.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, the thing about jiu-jitsu, I think it's cool because I'm like, obviously I developed another part of my brain, right? Because I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep this close to me. Let me see what happens. Let me try it out. Let me test this. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out my game. I feel like I'm trying to develop my old man game. Does that make sense to you? So when you're younger, you can go harder, right?
And
you're But when you're older, it's a lot of technique. So you got to absolutely rely on technique so much.
It's more based on timing than and technique than like speed and like strength, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm developing my old man game as a young man. Because I'm hurt, so it's like it kind of just forced me to do it. And
well, you got to develop the technique.
Yeah,
and so that's what every. It's weird when you.
Apply it to something else in life. Apply what I just said to something else in life.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. If you don't know what the fuck you're doing, then, and you're just like getting by. I mean, there's a famous quote. Well, Warren Buffett, like, once the water pulls in, once the tide pulls back, I mean, you'll see who is swimming naked. And like, that's true. Like, once, you know, shit really happens, you'll be shown to be a fraud, you know? And then, you know, you can't rely on just, you know, skimming by.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. But that also can happen in a situation where you discover that maybe you want to do something else. Like, when it really gets to a point where you got to put a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And you're
tested. Is that what happened with
you? Sometimes, you know, it made me rethink what I want in life and stuff. Like, honestly, I can't really say to a T what I even want now. Mm. You know, I'm actually 30 years old. Mm. I feel like it's something that... It's an ongoing process, even. Like, it's possible that, you know, you can be 40, 50, be like, I learned so much more than my, you know, previous self at a decade ago. And it's just interesting where life can take you sometimes. And it is hard to really know who you really are at the core.
Yeah, man, I think that's what, like, for me, I think jiu-jitsu kind of helps you unravel that. It helps you kind of see who you are. And that's important to me. I think it's important. I'm developing a new part of my game. And I'm still badass, even though my game isn't like the way I want it to be. But I feel like I'm pulling out the old man tricks already, you know? Like, you know, like you go to the old guy at the basketball court, right? He just looks like some old guy, but he fucking ends up schooling you. And so I'm just developing that game sooner than later, you know? And plus I'm a lot heavier, so I'm not as fast. There's just a lot of things changing about my body that's helping determine my game.
Damn, I just need to step it up, man.
Man, being like, a white belt, though, man, you're not exposed the way I am. You know, you don't understand. So, to develop the base, the awareness, like, just everything, man, it just takes so long. And wrestling...
How long have you been doing jiu-jitsu now?
I'm 26 right now. I started when I was 20, so about 5 and some change years.
Mm.
And so, yeah, man, I'm a purple belt under... Under Eddie Martinez, shout out.
You're a purple belt?
Yeah, I'm a purple belt. Damn. And then, but I think even though, because he's not well known or, you know, people can trace his lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go to another school, they're going to ask you, like, you got that purple belt. Where'd you get it from? Because there's a lot of fake shit going on out there. You know, there's a lot of people, like, then it's the other way around. There's blue belts that are black belts now, you know? There's white belts that are blue belts, you feel?
Yeah.
So, like...
You mean in their actual technique level?
Everything, just how fast you develop what jiu-jitsu can give you.
You know, that's true, actually, and it's... around the time that I was, like, before I went to go get, like, the headquartered, like, membership and practice jiu-jitsu there, I kind of went to this this school close to where I was working at the time, which was out of mid-Wilshire, around Fairfax and Wilshire. And
Cobrina.
Yeah.
Cobrina. You went to Cobrina's.
Yeah.
Dog. So you've been to the top guys like I have.
Yeah.
Guess what? Actually, headquarters now has a Cobrina jiu-jitsu guy.
No way.
Yeah.
Cobrina, for those that don't know, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but he's literally like 1 and 2 in his division in the world.
And that's a gi jiu-jitsu.
And no gi.
Oh, no gi.
He won the ADCC in his weight division.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he's like literally 1 and 2 with this other guy named Rafa Mendez. Gi, no gi, whatever. You could put them against anybody, any style, and they won.
Well, I didn't go there.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Hey, but his school's like kind of whack anyway. Nah, it's cool, but like Eddie. I like the way Eddie does. He's different, you know.
Eddie Bravo.
Yeah, the way he drills. I think if people drilled the way he drilled in the Brazilian, like if you go to a Brazilian school or like it's a regular school and they drill like Eddie, those kids would be fucking better than they are.
Whoa, I don't understand. What
like
what
the
do
way
you mean?
Eddie drills, he's like, you're supposed to, like, he takes it as like you're going to school, like college.
Yeah,
like, you got to know the material before you come in and know the move. He's not going to waste time showing the movements, like the drill. And so his students have to know. Is that, am I saying this right?
Yeah, that's how we actually started training, where you do a drill a few times, repetition, and then he allows some rolling.
Okay, because I'm not familiar with the other form of, like, I don't know what the regular way is
like,
doing.
No, but, like, so my point is this. So I've been to a few schools, right? And they generally run and operate the same, right? The way Eddie does his, like, the way he presents it is different. And I'm not even sure if I should be talking about this.
Why?
Because, like, I'm not... I mean, maybe he doesn't give a fuck, but...
No, I mean, his class... Most of his classes are on like, YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, but...
He encourages to be...
But, okay, but imagine the stuff he doesn't show, and I talk about it. Like, they might... Whatever. But you get what I'm saying? They're like,
no, I get you.
They're weird like that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So... whatever.
I mean, you don't go into any details.
But. The way he sets it up. He sets it up, like, really, it's cool. It's like school.
Yeah, where everybody just crowds around him, and we just, like, watch him, and
I'm talking before that. I'm not too sure you guys were there for that. Maybe I was, like, at a new class or something.
All right.
But the way it was like, so he put something on
Twitter. You mean for the warm-up?
He put something on Twitter or some shit, and then his students had to know, like what the fuck was going on before. And, like, I just came in, I was invited there, you know, by Travis Nawaza. You know who he is?
Travis Nawaza?
Yeah. Oh. And I was invited by this guy, and he's a 10th Planet guy. And so, and the way they were drilling, it was like they were drilling movements that you'll do all the time. And so, like, they become second nature. And there was no, like, shrimping across the mat. Or there was no doubles or nothing. It was drilling. Like, physical. Usually they don't do that. They do, like, shrimps and oompas and flips and shit, you know? And so it was just a different style. He warmed your body up with jiu-jitsu movements. So that's the noticeable difference I saw.
Okay. I guess, like, also, I don't know, do other... In other, like, jiu-jitsu, like, studios, or at least the teaching of it, is it more like a traditional, like martial art kind of, like,
no.
Relationship?
For I think in jiu-jitsu, a little more laid back. It comes from Brazil, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they the beach, you know? But if you go, like, to a judo school, you got to know, you got to learn some Japanese. You got to bow. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's
but
true.
Not like that.
When I did, like, Taekwondo, I had to know, like, a little bit of Korean. It's like, what the fuck?
But if you, check, this is the secret. I'll tell you the secret of getting like the get in. Learn your ass some Brazilian Portuguese, and you'll get in. So like, you know how other arts can encourage. This is my theory. They encourage it. Like it's like mandatory that you learn, but no one tells you, you got to learn Brazilian Portuguese. But if you pick that up, you get cool with the instructor. I'll just like when you connect with someone that doesn't speak the same language like as everyone else. You could talk shit about. We could talk shit about him.
Yeah, that's true.
You
know? Yeah,
it's just a different. Like, we, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just a different way of connecting. It's just a different steel, you know.
I never had to do that before. Well, at least at HQ.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean,
Eddie Bravo was jargon, which he didn't base it on Portuguese at all.
Oh, this motherfucker, he was like the New York, the zombie crawl, the pimp and the hood rat.
Crackhead. Crackhead control.
He developed his own language for the art, you know, and so it just looks weird.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Dominic Cruz, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to... I mean, it's going to be...
him versus Uriah Faber.
Uriah Faber.
July, right? Or June, yeah. June, actually. I think it's June.
I mean, I think it's going to be the same shit that happened last time. And it's going to go to decision. That's it. It's going to be a boring
fight. Yeah, you think so?
No, it won't be a boring fight, but it'll be the same way. Like, they're both...
It's going to be a close fight, you're saying? Competitive?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely Uriah Faber has the harder punches, a more explosive techniques.
Yeah, but he's been, I don't know, I wasn't really impressed. Yeah. Well, actually, his last fight, I was kind of impressed, but the one before that one.
Check this out. Uriah, he beats who he's supposed to beat.
Yeah.
All right? That's just what it is. He's going to beat those guys no matter what. But when it comes to guys that are better than him and then off on the same level as him, I think Dominic Cruz and Uriah, they're not going to want to lose to each other. So that's why it's going to, like, I think it's just going to go to the decision. Unless they really put it out there, you know? So they, as far as, like, exposing themselves in order to gain. So, like, Carlos Condon versus, what's that motherfucker's name? The British dude with the mohawk at the time? Dan Hardy.
Yeah.
No. So they collided at the same time, right? Because they were so exposed and they both hit, but the person with the, I guess, the better angle was able to get the punch or get the knockout. So the same thing happens in jiu-jitsu, same thing happens in MMA and stuff. Like, just exposing yourself in order to finish. I don't think it's going to finish. I think neither of them are going to give that much to finish, but definitely points. The wrestlers, that they grew up with that, with the points. So Dominic Cruz knows how to score points.
Yeah, he does.
Uriah, he likes the more of the finish, the sub and all that. So that's why I think it's going to kind of go the same route, just a decision. And then whoever does that much more on the points is going to,
because you
got to
give Uriah some kind of leverage too. I mean, they're going to be doing like a lot of just basic wrestling. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And Uriah Faber himself, he competed at, I think, Division I wrestling at UC Davis. So it sounds like he was in wrestling too. So he's a very good matchup against Dominic Cruz, because Dominic Cruz knows for his great takedowns, but Uriah Faber can prevent those takedowns most of the time, and he hits harder. Dominic Cruz has accurate punches but less power, so he's gonna rely more on points. And he does. He's more active.
That generally. Fucking footwork, man.
Yeah, the footwork.
Yeah, the foot's dope, man. He has a cool little style. I think that's probably why he got hurt all that.
Yeah.
Because of that style. It's if someone that doesn't understand what we're talking about is like how Derrick Rose played. And Derrick Rose, he's an NBA player, but he's always hurt. And he was the MVP of the league. It's the same, similar of like just trying to give an idea of someone who does a lot, right? They have a lot of magic to their steps and stuff. But this, like, for example, this muscle, I can't go this way. So it's always like that leg for him. And for Dominic, it's the same thing because of his angles. So I think that kind of like, it's the something like that because of how much movement he does.
But also, like, for instance, the last one, he just went right into working out again. He didn't take the amount of time of rest that he should have either.
Probably.
He overtrains. Yeah. Yeah, and it's the exact same
body.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his name is fucking, I don't think he's ever been injured that much. Just from like, I don't think he's been injured that much.
Who?
Uriah?
I think he's just
he hasn't.
He's a rock.
Yeah,
he also he's takes solid. Care of himself, and he's healthy. He's been healthy for since he was a kid. You know?
Yeah, but so does Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz literally said that for most of his 20s, his food was like literally eating Jumbo Jacks. Oh, yeah, shit. He was a big junk food eater until he was literally 27, where he finally got a nutritionist.
Well, good for that motherfucker.
So yeah, finally. That might play a part too.
Maybe. That's like, that does play a huge factor, I think, how well you take care of yourself. But ultimately, man, it's, I think you got to ask yourself this. Who wants it more? And I don't know. You feel?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't tell in conversations I see on YouTube. I can't. Who wants it more? I just see someone, like, essentially them picking on each other, trying to make each other, like, feel bad about who they are, right? And these little, I think, and Uriah's getting the better of him on those things.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think his trash talk really gets the upper hand against Cruz. But it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
but like, I hate seeing Cruz just kind of and say something stupid, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like, well, you're short, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. But it's funny, you know? It's definitely entertainment. And you can tell that they pretty much mean those things, too.
Yeah. You know? They don't like each other, man.
For real. So it makes it a lot of fun, for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean,
obviously, I don't have like a bias for either.
When are they fighting?
I think June. It's
I think really, in June. Yeah,
there's like other fights coming before that, bro. Why are we talking about this fight?
Because that's one the one I'm exciting. Interested in. Oh.
I think there was UFC this last week or two. I don't know who fought.
Fuck, I don't know either, dude. But I know somebody. Somebody fought. I don't know.
I guess. So.
All right. Well, what about the Conor McGregor?
That fool is funny as fuck, dude. Even though he's a bitch,
he's a dick.
No, I think he's super dick, but
super dick.
He's a super dick. He's a big old fat penis, dog. Just throbbing penis, like just walking around thinking he's a shit, right? Then he got his ass fucking put in check, and he stopped being a little bitch and went to Iceland and shit. It's, you know, I'm gonna think in Iceland. Nah, I don't know. I just think Connor's antics is funny, and that he's a game fighter. He fights, you know.
Yeah.
I think he took two short notice opponents back to back, and he didn't care. You know, I think he's good at getting in people's heads. I like how he got into the Brazilian's head. A Brazilian, by the way, are fucking. They don't got a good track record. You can't talk shit about someone, and you're the one that got knocked out. You can't do it. Fucking Jose Aldo was talking mess about Connor.
I agree.
You can't talk about, okay?
Yeah.
And then Betch Coelho was talking about Ronda. You can't talk. And Brazilians, I don't get it. You can't, no. You can't do that. Stop. Okay? Like, literally, if you get knocked out,
uh-huh.
It's like Debo and Craig. Debo know his place now. But not quite, you know, because he's still big. So, but my point is, like, Craig knocked out Debo from Friday.
Yeah.
And so when you get knocked out like that, you can't talk.
Yeah, why do they talk?
Why?
But that's in every.
I don't think so, man. If you knock
boxing,
me out.
Boxing, that's in that. That's happened too.
You think so? You think that happens in boxing? Like, generally, if the man, like, if we're going to use an example, like Holyfield versus Tyson, Holyfield beat Tyson twice, right?
Yeah.
And Tyson got nothing but respect for Holyfield. And those are two black dudes.
What the fuck? Yeah, they are, man. They surely are.
I see what you mean. It's like, I think he could have had Jose Aldo could have had Conor McGregor, but he's like, he said he didn't want to fight, right? Like he was
who,
like
Aldo?
Pulling out. Yeah, he.
I don't know.
No, I think he wanted it.
No, before Nate Diaz was chosen, they called him first, and he said he didn't want it because he wasn't ready for it.
I don't think he's ready.
Yeah,
he's,
well, no, you know, no, he I wasn't. Think, no, he's no, not.
Let me rephrase because.
But he had said in his Twitter, "I'll fight you anytime, anywhere." You know, it's like,
no,
you
really, whatever, no, man. No, like, no,
this is what I think.
Oh man,
he got kicked. He got knocked out.
He got knocked out.
Okay, but that doesn't mean he's not a great fighter. And it doesn't necessarily mean we don't know what the outcome would have been if they were both on the same.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Connor got into his head.
Yeah, right? He did.
Got and he came in flailing, and Connor was ready for it because he knows that he's a pit bull. right? He just let a piece of meat. They're gonna go after it. Yeah. So we don't really know if they're both on the same level, because I felt like he came, even though I felt like because of the shit talking, that was like a strength for Connor. And so they weren't on the same skill level. So we don't know how good Connor is.
But that's the strategy of all of the major fights right now, is trying to get into the other opponent's head by shit talking. And why? Because it also brings its seats. And so if you're a better shit talker, man, like, you're getting into the other person's head because the other person isn't ready for that. Right? They don't know. That's the new game.
I mean, it's a new game in MMA probably, but it's been in boxing, obviously.
Since obviously.
I mean, he's the one who started this whole shit talking to a whole new extreme.
Is that, you don't want
to
know what's something crazy? That's how I think, had you guys ever, like, did you know, do you know how pro wrestling came to the States?
Through the Olympics?
Catches can wrestling.
And
so,
what?
So there's like a real style of pro wrestling back in the day. That imagine there was like, I think it was like pro wrestling of today meets like fucking like real fighting. You know, it was like they brought the catch as can, and it developed from catch as can wrestling, and that was a real real, like, it was like jiu-jitsu. It was like a real, like, there's real consequences.
It was like American wrestling with submissions.
Okay.
And actually, one of their favorite techniques of the catch wrestling was the heel hook. The heel hook came from catch wrestling.
I don't know about that. So, I don't know that.
I mean, that's what I read anyways.
It was, I'm not too sure, but I know I could tell you this for who the people that are like, know what's up. So tell me the difference between a double wrist lock and a Kimura.
What's the difference?
There's a big difference. There's a Kimura. It's the same kind of mechanism, but just completed differently. And I can't really, I don't really know. It's a lot. I don't know how to really describe it, but can I use the restroom?
Yeah, no, man. No. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Which one's that?
All right. Yeah, just show him.
First door to the right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was mentioning the catch wrestling, but we haven't heard too much about that. Pro wrestling and catch wrestling, we should have even mentioned this when we were talking about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
They were basically both done in the early 20th century, late 19th century. Catch wrestling has no theatrics added to it. It's not choreographed. It's actually submission wrestling. It's probably the oldest submission wrestling that the U.S. has ever seen. I'm not sure where it originated, but
Russia probably. Those fucking people are they're crazy, man.
Yeah, I guess they are. Right?
So scary.
So scary.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I don't know where it originated, but I think all of that stuff originally came from Greece, right? Was it wrestling?
That's what they say about catch wrestling. Wrestling came from Europe, which, you know, Greece, and they even had their own MMA in the original Olympic times.
Yeah.
It was like Pancrase, I think it was
called. Well, it was to the death, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, honestly. It definitely was more brutal. I think they even had, it was definitely more brutal. I'm not sure it was to the death, though.
Huh.
But, in the U.S., catch wrestling has been here for about 100 years. And it competed well against the judo people who came.
I don't know, man.
They did very well against them. But as far as I understand, the heel hook was in catch wrestling for many years.
Well, maybe. I think there is a heel hook in catch wrestling, but I'm not too sure that's where it developed. Like, because catch wrestling is weird. Like, the sport is more, it has shoes on. There's shoes in catch wrestling. There's not like shoes in like jiu-jitsu. But I can see how the heel hook, it would be like a really strong hold to have if you had shoes on, because there's no like, there's more, less traction, no, more traction, right? So that it's unable to like slip out of shit. So imagine like your heel going up and your knee going down and your knee pops. That's a heel hook.
Jeez.
That's some real shit. And people will throw that shit on you. You better know what the fuck to do. So I'm not too sure who developed it, but it was probably around before catch wrestling. I think fucking grappling and fighting came from India. That's what someone told me one time. Yeah, it came from India.
We were just saying, like, we don't know where the fuck it came from.
No, I think it came from India, dude. Like, somewhere. But then who did it come from, brother? Who developed all this shit?
That's what I don't know, man. Who's like, if you I think it developed by watching, like, turtles fight or something.
Turtles fight? I guess.
Right? Maybe. I don't know, man. I just pulled that shit out of my ass.
I'm really thinking about this shit, though.
I know, right? But, I mean, it's interesting. Like, yeah. We had to develop something from like
animals,
this.
Animals showed us how to fight.
Yeah.
I heard some shit on Joe Rogan the other day is that from Winnie Cummings. She said, if you take your weapons away, who's more dominant, the lion or the man or some shit? The man will get ate up, for real. By that.
Oh yeah, we depend entirely on our imagination.
Yeah, for real. Good thing we have a great imagination, and we have computers and stuff, and internet, and the government's listening to us right now. So.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Well, I mean, they can have all the imagination they want. They can tax
them. You know what? I want to ask you something now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why the fuck did you come from Gardena? Dog, I've been to your house.
Uh huh.
You moved from Gardena to over here.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because it's close to my work.
Oh, okay. And there's like just roommates and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Those are roommates or like people you know?
Yeah, they're my roommates.
Cool. That's crazy. You're crazy, dog.
Why?
Because that's just crazy, like to like go
like Gardena and Pasadena? It's a nice city.
No, I think it's cool. I saw this bridge on the way over here. There's like some bridge on the freeway or the whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? That thing looks amazing.
Yeah, that's where people get raped and killed. Yeah.
Really?
No. That's where.
Yeah. Well, okay. Cool. Work.
Everybody, it's like a tourist spot. No. It's just like I work. I commute often to downtown LA, Beverly Hills, and all over the place.
That's dope, man. Where all the white people are at.
Yeah, because that's where the money is, man.
That's where that money be at.
Yeah,
that's
white people.
Man. Yeah.
They be feeding me.
Hey, for real, man. That's for real.
Yeah, I just figured it out. I mean, just pick up the crumbs after the whites.
Yeah. For real, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's mine now. That's mine. That's mine.
You gotta do it, man. You gotta eat, you know? You gotta do what you gotta do to eat, you know?
So. Well, I mean, like, I'm not, I mean, if I had to go to New York, I'd go there. Or if I had to go to San Francisco, I'd go wherever.
Those are like, honestly, those cities, all the cities you like kind of named, they're fucking so stressed out, you know?
Well, LA is one of those cities.
They're super stressed out. Yeah. Fucking New York, I feel like this little old lady, I was getting off the fucking, off the train, because everyone commutes by train there. Uh-huh. I was getting off, this little old lady pushed me. Trying to get to the bus, and I was looking at my phone, and it's like it ain't coming for like 4 more minutes.
What the fuck? You act like there's no train here. I take the train every day.
Nah, it ain't like New York, dog. It ain't like New York.
It's a lot more.
There's like, imagine, so the
subways.
No, okay, the subway, but like
the rails. It's
everybody commute. There's like hot chicks walking around at night. You know, like you don't see
the thing about these cities. A lot of people complain about them and stuff, but they're still the most.
They're the most expensive per square foot in real estate. So there's a reason people want to live in those places too, though.
Yeah, for looks. Like, I've been to some of the greatest cities in the world.
Uh-huh.
I've been to Mexico City. I've been to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Obviously, LA. I've been to New York. So those are the four I've been to, right? All right. He thought I was going to say some crazy shit, huh? I plan on doing more, okay? That's my limited realm right now, okay?
Okay.
But if I were going to judge all of them, Mexico City is the best one, right?
Okay.
A lot of people have said that.
Mexico City would be the best one out of those. I've never been to Paris. I've never been to Barcelona, London, none of those. But from my limited experience in life, in the four that I just named, uh-huh. I would say, and then I would even add Berkeley into that. I love Berkeley, yo. And then, but then Mexico City was dope. So that's all we're talking about.
Well, all right. Well, that's cool.
I did apply to work in Mexico City.
Really?
In the last six months, yeah. Oh, I mean, cool. I'm open to working outside LA. I mean, well, I was born and grew up here. I mean, I would like to experience different cities.
Well, what I mean is, like, you know, I'm not afraid of, like, having to travel in order to work.
All right, good job.
Like, you know, like, and that's my point, is that, I just figured this makes my life a lot easier if I live closer to work, because...
I didn't realize how close we were to downtown L.A.
We're a little bit away.
But from Gardena, Gardena's so close to downtown L.A.
No. This is closer. This is closer.
There's probably less traffic. I mean, that's for sure.
Man,
there's less traffic too.
Well, I used to live in San Pedro. I mean, I still live in San Pedro.
Uh-huh.
But I used to work in downtown LA too. Uh-huh. I used to work AEG.
Really?
Yeah, I was like the last employee before a security guard, and then there was me. I was trying to hustle my way into the sales and marketing.
LA Live or something?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I was like one of the event staff.
Okay.
I was just trying to hustle my way into the marketing and sales department there. It didn't work out, but whatever.
You mean like Golden Voice?
No, what do you mean?
No. Hey, no, he was working for the actual, like...
It's just LA Live.
No.
So LA Live is a company that manages the Staples Center complex. So they manage it. So all the events that take place, that's the shit that they take care of. And they have them everywhere. And so... Right. I was trying to hustle my way into that organization, you know.
Okay.
It was a dope thing to do, like, to work for them, you know. And you can work, if you work for them, you can work, they can move you to Canada or something if you want to work for, you know. They're paying people to move and shit. So
yeah.
They're the ones behind Coachella, too. It's AG.
Oh, I don't know that. Yeah. But obviously they're a legit company, so yeah. I was trying to work for them, but whatever. It didn't work out. I got in with another cool spot. They flew me out to New York, you know.
So you would go to downtown LA and stuff, or
yeah, and so my commute, I had the fast pass.
Uh-huh.
That shit worked wonders. I get from fucking Pedro all the way on Gaffey, all the way to fucking Pico off the 10 West entrance, Pico right there, and I park right there in those parking lots right off the freeway.
Yeah, I would take the metro.
Damn, bro.
I would take the bus from where the Home Depot is.
Uh-huh.
All the way to downtown LA. It would drop me off right in front of my building.
That's cool. Were like a bank or something? Oh, yeah, you said you were a bank. Damn, yeah. Dude, that's crazy. I didn't know you were like a banker and all that.
No, I'm not a banker. I'm an analyst.
But still, that's like legit. That's like legit stuff, you know?
What?
I'm an analyst for a bank, girl. Where are your panties at now? Like,
I don't know.
The panties would be in your pocket.
Consider us very cheap accountants, I guess.
All right, good job.
You just make assessments about... Credit,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a glamorous job. I'm not like an investment banker. Yeah, I'm not a New York. I'm not one of the hedge fund guys or anything like that.
But that shit is coming if you work hard and go with that you want. You know, it'll happen.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But definitely, I enjoy it. I mean, I like what I do. You know, but I like everything that I do, and that's kind of the key.
Like drugs.
I love drugs.
That's crazy, dog.
This whole weekend I did drugs, actually. I came back. We went to a forest rave
over the weekend. Oh, how was that? You guys, like, went around naked and shit?
No, I wish, man.
Naked, fly naked. Yeah.
That's crazy. I would imagine that, like, experiences with drugs in the forest would...
lead to orgies? It does.
No,
it does.
That, but also, like a higher consciousness kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Awakening type of thing. Because that's what you and your crew used to do. Like, go bust acid in the cabin or something.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. A personal question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you guys ever have, like, an orgy, all you guys?
No, we never had an orgy. But I have... Never mind.
Okay.
But not with my group. Not with that group.
Okay. The group, though... I gotta say it one more time. You guys are all fucking awesome.
Oh, well, thank you, man. The group likes you too, man.
Really? You know what? I've been so wanting to go to, like, one of Julian's shows. He's always posting shit on Facebook.
Yeah,
Instagram.
I never get time to go do that.
Yeah, I would go if I was, like, maybe single. Because I don't think my girl would be interested, like, you know?
Why don't you give her the choice?
I will. I will present it to her. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Like... Let's go check it out, because it's weird music, but I feel like it's dope, you know?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how down people are, you know? Like, if you just ask them, sometimes you'll get a no. But most of the time, people are, like, down for shit. And, I don't know, sometimes I forget. I forget that people, like...
Love you?
No.
You're
that's like nah. I mean, I kind of get. That's like the last thing I even think about. I guess people just have the same kind of thought process, or they see the same thing, or you know, have the same thoughts as you. You know.
Yeah, yeah. It'll trip you out, man. How many people can identify with some of your thoughts?
So, yeah, exactly.
That's which like lures people to other people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, for example, me and Ruben, right? Uh-huh. Would you ever think me and Ruben would be friends? Like, just by looking at us, purely judging us by looking at us, without like knowing our character or having heard us speak.
I guess if you guys came out separately and I never knew you guys, then I guess not. I wouldn't exactly, think so.
But there was something that connected us. Obviously, we worked together, but...
But I've always known you guys to know each other, so
that's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. How did, like, Nick be cool with me? You know, how did we... Man, dude, we used to do crazy shit in that fucking Starbucks.
I know.
Crazy shit.
I know.
Man.
Dog. I would walk in there, like, at the perfect time to...
So... We used to do crazy fucking shit in the Starbucks. You don't...
Like what? Like, give a few examples.
I dropped.
Should I say it? Yeah, do you work there? You don't work there no more?
What if it
like,
tell us. What if it affects, like, what if it affects my employment?
Your future employment? Yeah, like, yeah. You gotta go back?
Hey, we're gonna use a pseudonym, by the way. It's,
your pseudonym. Juju.
Juju Doodoo. All right. All right, check this out. So, I dropped Ecstasy there.
Starbucks. Providing the best customer service ever.
Oh man, I was emotional. Dude, check it out. So I don't think anyone knows this. So this black dude that works at AT&T right next to us. He was cool as fuck. Super cool cat. Like just legit. Probably got a ton of bitches on his sack kind of guy, right? Cool dude.
Okay.
So we came in the driver's window and I was so like self-conscious about being like Hispanic and being around white people and stuff. And I was just super like, because I was going to Cal State Long Beach or I was going to El Camino at the time or something like that. And he was like, he told me some real shit. And I was like, and I was expressing this to him while on Ecstasy.
Okay.
How uncomfortable I felt with, like, how I feel, you know? And he was like, man, all you got to do, like, super cool. It's like, all you got to do is be yourself. And if they can't accept that, just move on, essentially. You know, you don't have to deal with that. Just, oh, if you be yourself. And then,
damn, he gave you some fucking real shit. Like some
knowledge. And knowledge, bro.
You just dumped a bomb of knowledge
straight
on
up,
you.
Straight up. And
Dan, did you cry?
No, nah, I was like, I gave him that. Like, good job, dog. You know, like
damn.
The humble love. And cause he was cool. We would always chop it up, chit chat, you know.
Then he finished up that blunt and went back to work.
Just really was like, he was like a super classy dude. Like yeah? Super classy. Yeah, successful dude. And I think he like went to school in Alabama or something.
What does that mean?
No, I don't think like he would ever present himself in a negative light, you know. Like even like just for whatever reason, that's just how he carried himself. Like he told me one time, he's like, people that litter, it's like that says something about their character. And he's like, that means they disrespectful. That's the earth, you know? Why are you disrespecting the earth? That's Mother Earth. You wouldn't disrespect your mother, but they might. People that litter might be disrespecting their moms.
Hey, man.
So that he gave me some knowledge. I learned all kinds of shit. Like, if you think about it, I worked at Starbucks from 18 to 21. Uh-huh. Those were like formative years. Right?
Yeah, your Starbucks years, man.
Yeah, and so I
couldn't do it. I tried doing it for like, I only lasted 3 months. Yeah, I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
4 years, dog. 4 years.
Shit.
So,
well, you know, I know some people that have been doing it for like 10 years, man.
What about it, didn't you not?
You know what? Because I worked from a bank where like, like, you had to explain why people are kind of dumb. Like, no, it says it right here. Like, you know, you're supposed to pay here or, like, pay, you know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I go to a place where some customers straight up throw their fucking drink at you.
Yeah.
Like, nah,
customer
man.
Customer service in general.
Man, I've almost gotten fights with, like, two or three customers. Like,
yeah,
legit.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's, it, like, and not, I'm, and that's never happened to me, you know? Thankfully.
What did you do?
No, it never happened to me, but I knew people. I've seen that shit happen.
That's like face-to-face customer service. That's part of what it is, dealing with a bunch of, you know, idiots.
and, you know, food being thrown. But is that just the reason why? It's just the face-to-face customer service? I mean, what?
What? No, man. Like, it's not just customer service. It's straight up disrespect of you as an employee.
I see what you mean, though. Well, that's
what. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's not customer service. It's the complete disregard of like, no, man, like, you were right. Like, you were right about something, and management doesn't have your back. I mean, I'm not. I like Starbucks as a company, all right, and I believe you know, management is really good in that company, but as far as their customer service goes, they will step over you as an employee to deliver that customer service. No,
but yeah, that's the point of view I was talking about. As an employee,
check of course. This out.
Like it's yeah, kind of, I mean, it's awful. Like
right.
Like the fact that somebody can just throw a hot drink at you and walk off. Like what? Fuck that bitch, man. Like
yeah.
I guess you thought I was talking about point of view as a customer. I'm thinking working in customer service. They're only giving a shit about the customer. They don't give a shit, you know, about you. You're just a means to their profits. That's what you're saying, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. I think for some people, I think depending on the management you've, the management that you've been under, there's been like, obviously you have to trust your employee to be very, just use their discretion and be chill.
Yeah.
And not be screaming. If I was a manager and I rolled up and I saw someone, my employee screaming at a customer, automatically something's wrong.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, so like no, but, I mean in the sense that you should never, you got to keep the face. You got to keep the face no matter what, you know.
Like, see, and that's
and that's customer service in America, okay?
But that, but what does that mean? Does that mean that you lose respect for you? No, like, what if you're not yelling at somebody?
Exactly.
What if
you're that's that point. That's the other side. So if I roll up and I see a customer having a disagreement with an employee, and my employee is just being safe face, he's like, you know what, let me get my manager so you guys can discuss, like, really chill, like, I understand they have a disagreement with me. And that's when your manager comes in and you did what you were expected to do, right? And you let them take over, and then you let them deal with it. I'm not gonna deal with some fucking idiot customer.
Yeah, but that's kind of where I'm saying that the ball is dropped. Because the manager will come out and say, yeah, here's free gift certificates. Like, here, you know, I'm so sorry that my employee did that. Like, here's more gift certificates, you know? And then what about you? Like, you just got something thrown at you.
Oh, I get what you're saying. That,
you know, like
so that's what I'm saying. But depending, that's an extreme case. That's like the most extreme case, like, besides like
getting, like, I've seen that shit.
Yeah, that's a really extreme case, and that's like assault, you know, with a hot drink. That's a very extreme case. In that case, if your manager doesn't have your back in that case, then you know what kind of person they are from out of work. Managers I've had typically have like had my back. Completely.
Because I actually talked to like a few.
Like Nick? Nick would have your back. He was my fucking
Nick shooter. Would have your back. But
he
not.
He would make them feel stupid. He's like.
Oh, hey. Shit. Damn, we just outed Nick as a former. Ah, it doesn't even work there anymore. Oh. Well, love you, Nick.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Like, like someone that would have your back no matter what, and knowing what's expected of you as an employee. Like, I've gotten out of line with a customer. I should have, though. I just let that person get to me, thinking that they knew me, you know? And I guess that makes me, I don't know, you're only human, so I got out of line, and it happens. But someone that I didn't think expect to have my back, had my back. Mm. Remember the tall, skinny dude that no one liked?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had my back, and nobody liked him. And I always had respect for him because I got to understand him on a different medium. Even though we did have our disagreements, believe me, we went through some shit together. Yeah, literally, okay. Literally at Starbucks, you're going to war with customers, you know? Because you got to make this shit quick or they're going to get mad.
Yeah, you got to work together.
Yeah, it's like you know, you got to like pull your weight, and you got, if someone's slacking, you got to, you know, it's weird, but, yeah, it just really depends on your manager. I've had managers that were mean, dude. Mean. Call me a fat ass. And, like, other people see. And then, like, I call out the so this will happen. I'm going to call this bitch out.
Okay.
Fuck. Jeannie, you hoe. I think that's her name. No, dude, literally, last time I saw her, I
fuck
threw
that
up.
Puta.
I threw up, dog. Like, she was such a bitch to me, dog. And I told my, I texted my district manager, I forgot her name.
You probably don't want to.
I will call her ass out. No, I'm just kidding. No, but she didn't have my back. I expressed something to her, like, she's, like, mistreating me. Come to find out, they're both friends. And then when I brought it, and I pulled her card, like, I pulled it like this, at a meeting in front of, like, 20 employees. Like, why don't you have her back? Like, I came to you. I was 18 years old at this time. I didn't know what the hell I was saying. I was scared. But I was like, I got to let her know how I feel, you know? And so I was like, yeah, like, you didn't have my back. And she got so pissed off. She didn't express it to everyone else, but because my manager, the manager at the time, was my cousin's girlfriend. And that's how I got in. She just fucking, I came into my interview with, like, Chuck's on.
You know, oh, shit.
All 18-year-old kids, stupid, didn't know any better. But, like, obviously, she did me a great service, you know? But, yeah. Like, and she told me she got pissed off and
shit, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, dude. And so, I didn't get fired for like a couple more years after that. But, and we had a super, you remember the blonde dude, right?
Yeah.
All right. He was cool, dog. He could have fired me a year before that.
Yeah, he was really chill.
He was chill. And so, but he knew I was good. I think he wanted me to, like, be another, like, supervisor. But I was like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I don't want to go. I saw how stressed out Nick was. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, Nick was doing that and going to school and working out. Like,
yeah, dude. Like, I wouldn't want to put myself in that stress. So he did and whatever, you know. But that's, like, that's why he is where he is, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of individual he's at. So, and that's where I am where I'm at. Just a chill, just different person, different what I wanted to do with, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
So,
alright, well, fuck. Man, that was like an hour and a half.
Is that good?
I don't know. How do you feel?
I mean, I was just talking, man.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I don't know. It's a trip. I like seeing your setup. It doesn't look like overly complex, but like that little glitch that you had earlier,
yeah,
trying to get it jump started. I don't know, like, what would I do? So I'm trying to figure out how I want to get like a setup that can travel.
It just takes time, man. And once you get your podcast running, man, just let me know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like,
let me know, man, if you ever want me to come by again.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's fun talking to you, and you know, you just have a shit ton of crazy stories for sure.
You should definitely get Nick in here, dog. You should get Ruben, Nick. Yeah, we should talk about our fucking acid trip. That'd be dope.
Yeah, because I heard I heard Ruben had like a moment, right?
He had a moment. I was like, Ruben, come back. I was like, Ruben, come back. And we watched this movie the other day, the night before, like a couple nights before, called The Cube.
Uh huh.
Why? It's a weird flick. It has like a cult kind of thing going on. The Cube, right? There's like five of them. And it's just about being stuck in a cube. And the people getting killed off one by one in this cube. Because they're stuck in the cube. But it's all mind fuck, you know? And I understood something about it that I'm not willing to share right now. But it was kind of like, he understood something similar. And I was like,
Ruben?
The cube, yeah. I was like, the cube. I'm not even sure if he remembers. I was on acid too. So I was tripping balls.
Okay.
And so I was like, the cube, dog. And he was like, and, you know, but he did some shit like that with Nick one time. Nick was shit. Oh, never mind. And he was having trouble like getting up some stairs. And so Ruben started singing to Nick. And Nick,
to comfort him, or
no, but like it was like some fucking, you know, he's just super into like classical shit. And Ruben is a fucking music freak, dog. If you ever ask something about music or anything like that, Ruben is like the guy you can have talk to fluently. And so he likes that shit too. And he starts singing to Nick, and Nick is like, he's real sick at this moment, right? Uh-huh. And he's just not all there. And so he's trying to get up the stairs, trying to go to my apartment, and he was with his ex girlfriend, So yeah, man, that was it. And he started singing, and then Nick started like fucking climbing up the stairs and singing and shit. It was funny, but like that's kind of
why.
Just like, I don't know.
It's
like,
funny.
Well, think about it. If you're trying to deal with someone who's like not well, and something that makes them feel so good, like music and stuff, like, and then it was comforting. It was something about Nick back to like some real nice place for him, and when he's not even all there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it was funny how Ruben knew that, and so it would be cool to get it. Like, I don't know, man. I haven't seen Nick in forever, you know. So,
hey, when was the last time you did acid?
That was the only time, man. I don't think I ever do it again. Really? I didn't like how it felt. Like, it didn't, like, I remember this buzzing. It was like a buzzing, and I didn't like, the buzzing wasn't attractive to me, you know?
I wouldn't recommend doing it in a hotel.
You know what? And I also took 2 tabs my first time. I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, you, see.
You know what? That's actually what I did on last weekend. I took 2 tabs.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, it was in this camping trip, and and when you said the buzzing, because I still feel that today.
Yeah, it happens for a little while. For me, it happened a little while, like, after. It was like, even like, when I was, because we had to go to, we didn't sleep, me and Nick didn't sleep all night, right? Oh, check this out. So that night, right, we're done. We go home, and I go so crazy, I shave my hair off. Because I just, the buzzing, it was fucking irritating, you know? I just wanted to stop. And my mom is super open, you know? She like, and she's like a fucking veterana, you know, from, she knows what's up. Like, she's like, she told me essentially, like, go out for a run. Go out for a run and you'll feel better, because she's like, she was this guy, his name is Pantera. He was fucking like Mexican mafia assassin and shit. Uh-huh. He was a tweaker. In order to like, to calm himself down from like, from a manic moment, he said he would go for runs. And so that's how I later asked my mom, and she told me, that's how she like kind
of. That's crazy. I never even thought of that. That makes sense though.
And so I shaved my head and I went for a run, and there was this badass Italian chick, and I felt her energy attracted to me, you know, because I was like, I looked like a cholo, and I was going to my fit moments. I was doing jiu-jitsu and stuff, and so I could see like how a woman will find me attractive, and I could feel her energy literally. And I went around a few times, and we were like crossing each other like multiple times, and I'm still on acid, and so I stop, and I holler at her. I don't know what it was. It was like my natural lion tackles a gazelle, you know? But
yeah, you were just on beast mode.
Yeah, dude. And I got her number, and then I got the bright idea. I was like, I want to do something right now. So I went back around, hopefully like maybe like we can cross paths and I can like charm her. But she wasn't there. I was like, fuck. But then I ended up going to work that later on that day, and I was I could still see like the painting moving that one at that Starbucks.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude. And then it was like, I don't know, Ruben had like a trippy ass experience. Like, he had a kick it with like all his friends the next day, and they took him to get food and shit. But yeah. Cause he has his own little crew. Like, you have your own crew. Yeah, you know? I'm like the lone wolf dog. I got like my cousin. You know my cousin?
I think so. I think that's when we were doing. Huh?
The gay girl?
Or the, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I did.
You know, I think she's from Carson, so I'm pretty sure you like crossed paths a few times.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to keep this, shut this one down.
Damn.
All right. Yeah, so, man. Let's do this again sometime, man.
Yeah, man, whenever.
And, you know, I'll probably see you soon, right? Yeah. For our next, we're going to do another drunk finance episode, so.
Oh, cool. Hey, what's up? So, before we leave.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear Nick's shit for sure. And then, so let's do that.
All right, yeah. Let's plan something together with Nick and Ruben.
Yeah, it might be interesting. I don't know.
I think so, especially once we're all fucking like super faded. Yeah.
Just chilling, man. Like, fuck, dude, that's crazy. I haven't really kicked it with Ruben that much either. So, whatever.
All right, man. Well, thanks. And that's it. We're done. I've had it. I guess check us out at abspodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter. Email us at anotherbspodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's about it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. Have fun, guys. Bye.